In worship, and the weather is still a bit of an issue, but it's always a thing for us to joyfully gather together for worship on our day. We have any prayer concerns or joys that we'd like to share? Just go ahead and put your hand up. Oh, you have a prayer concern. Okay.
Go. Thanks, Karen. If I could have prayers for my brother Bob, he's having surgery Tuesday. Thank you.
Brother Bob is having surgery on Tuesday. Okay. Anyone else? Said that one so fast, I'm still writing her down there. Anyone else?
Over here.
Barb Larson is getting a stent put in on Monday.
On Monday. Yes. Anyone else?
Prayers for our niece Ashton. She's back over in Wisconsin at the specialist. She's getting her feeding tube moved around. It's getting placed in her stomach. They did that Friday. A half-hour surgery turned into an all-day surgery. They had complications and three surgeons in there working on her. But so just continue prayers for that little girl. She's five, and she's just gone through more than any of us.
And where ever. Is she at?
Wisconsin right now. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to get stronger, so just prayers sent her way.
Thank you for the update. Let us travel along with them in that journey so they're not alone. Thank you. Anyone else? Speaking of the weather, haven't got any updates from anyone in the life of our church who experienced any sort of terrible accident. I think that's a praiseworthy thing, don't you think, that there's an opportunity that it hasn't caused any severe damage. It was kind of dangerous out there the last few days, so thankful for that. Thankful for our safety. Don't want to take that for granted. Anyone else?
In case you don't know, Lori Priest's husband's funeral is on Saturday at Marsh's at 11, and then the funeral dinner will be here.
And then a dinner after here? Okay. Yeah, so please reach out to Lori if you haven't already. There's a little bit of a delay from Wayne's passing to the service, so she's had some time to receive some phone calls from people, so thank you for that. Anyone else? Yeah, please.
Be extra sure today when the clipboards go around, you look through all the pages. There's a lot of information here. But one very important part to this congregation is on the second page, there's a sign up for the Lenten devotionals. You'll see last Sunday, the first 11 signed up. Since then, other people have told me that they're interested in writing, so we're up to 20, which is about halfway so far after just the first week. So be sure and sign up for something to write about. If you have an idea but don't feel comfortable writing about it, see me. I'd be willing to help you write it up. Or for me, sometimes when I get a mental block, I need to write an article and I can't think of how to get it going, I'll start with a list. I'll list the things that I want to say, kind of arrange it. And sometimes my whole article becomes a list rather than a narrative. A lot of you may be like me. If something's in a list, I'm more apt to read it than if I have to read the whole narrative. So do a list of things you're thankful for or God moments in your life or whatever. So hope to see a lot more signed up. My first two are in, so nobody can be first yet. And also on the clipboards, as I said last week, we would have some sample copies for some of you who may be newer and don't know what's expected in them. Really, there's no expectation. Anything you write probably comes from your heart, and that's fine. So on a couple of the clipboards, there's one of the booklets from 10 years ago, 2008. And a couple of them, there's devotionals from 20 years ago. So you know this has been a long tradition in this congregation. And if you can't think of things to write out, kind of go through there to see what others have written about. There's no right or wrong thing to write about. On the back table, Gayla has made little business type cards that tell you what's expected, kind of write a God moment or some moment in your life. And we're looking for about 400 words. It doesn't have to be that many, but if it gets much longer than that, it gets hard to get on one page. We're looking for something in kind of the upper room format. So do sign up, take a chance. For me, the most powerful part of this is when I look back over some of these ones from previous years, is how this is documenting our congregation. Not the official stuff that comes from the boards, not the building, not the whatever, but the people who are sitting in the pews on Sunday mornings. It's telling their story through the years. So take a chance, sign up. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for bringing that today and reminding us that there's still a lot of work to be done. Even though we've had a good response so far, we're not done yet. So thank you for that. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that aren't printed on the bulletin? No?
Actually, it is printed in the bulletin, but what's the term? Many hands make light work. After church, we're going to be undecorating, de-decorating, whatever, the church. So I was hoping that all of you would stay. The more of you, the faster it's going to go. That's all there is to it. And then we all know where the decorations go, too.
Bob, did you?
I'll be at my family out there in Henderson. That church out there is much like our church here. They're a little bit bigger than we are, but the same love you can feel in that church. And it's just a great, great family. I'm blessed. I've got such a family here and out at Forrester in the summer and then out there in the winter. So I will see you before Easter.
All right. A little time away, but see you before Easter. And so blessings and prayers as you go forward for safety and wellness while you're there. Anyone else? What about any birthdays? Are we celebrating any birthdays this week? Rob, you have a birthday? Nathan and Brandon are both on Tuesday? All right. Hey. That's pretty good. Well, guys, I can tell by your faces you're excited about the birthday song that's coming. Is there anyone else that seeks to relieve the boys of... the song that's coming up to share in that moment? Well, if we don't have any volunteers to accept another birthday today, let's go ahead and sing Happy Birthday. We're thankful that you're here with us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday. You guys are a little too young to be embarrassed about birthdays already, but we're thankful that you're here amongst us. And, Dad, thanks for showing the courage to get in there and let them know how much we appreciate them and welcome them. Father's Day is a long way to forget about, right? So, do we have any anniversaries today? Any earlier anniversaries? No? Okay. Well, let's go ahead and hand things over to our choir to begin and prepare us for a moment of worship. Please join me for a moment of opening prayer so we can ask the Lord to anoint this time and bless it that we are gathered together. Almighty God, what a promise that we've lifted up to you in this sacred space. We know, sure and certain, with all of our belief and all of our faithfulness, that your presence is amongst us. And Lord, we thank you for that reassurance. Lord, we thank you for that power. We thank you for that leaning strength and wisdom. Lord, we ask that not only you meet us in this place, but we come expectant knowing that you have prepared this place for us to encounter it. You have prepared the radio listeners for listening in today. You count their number. Lord, we come expectant that you've prepared a place because you have a specific direction you'd like us to go. And blessing that you would have us receive. Lord, we'd ask that we would open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's direction, to heed those nudges and the warming of our hearts. Lord, would you take glory in every word that is said, prayer that is lifted, and song that is sung this day? Would you find joy in all you hear? In Christ's powerful and majestic name we pray. Amen. All right, in these moments, let us go ahead, and I know this is from last week, but the messages kind of come together. Could you please stand if you're able? And traditionally, we only sing the song the one time, so it's pretty good that they put two in the counting book for this song, right? So can we stand up together, and we'll sing number 254, We Three Kings. Please stand if you're able, number 254, We Three Kings. Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats, it's interesting that we would have a hymn of promise. It was always around the corner. We'll join together and we can stay seated for 707, Hymn of Promise. so many powerful truths. We'll ask our kids to come up for our children's message today before their Sunday school time. Do we have any kids that could come up today? And as our kids are finding their way up here, there's plenty of room. I'd like us to think about that exact moment when we just sang some of those things, right? There's a mystery. There's an unknown. How many would you agree that even if these little ones, these young kids with us grow up in our household, and we're, Okay. But even if they're in our own households, right, when there's young people, so we understand how they're going to be instructed and the ways that we hope they will go, but how many of you have ever had a mystery unravel itself that a young child in your care did something that surprised you? Nobody? Okay, well, there's two of you that ever had a child in your life do something that surprised you, and we're talking about this hymn of promise because we understand that even though there's a mystery for our young kids, even at this age when they grow up, it is a beautiful mystery that we have. And we know that the time is all too fleeting when we find this mystery unfolding before us. But you know the song that we just sang, kids? It's called Hymn of What? Do you remember what that word was? Let me hold it for you. Does anybody read that? Does anybody know what that word says? Any guesses? What do you think? It's that word that starts with a P. Do you know what that is? Promise. That's right. How powerful is a promise? What happens when somebody gives us a promise? We can't break it, right? So if someone gives you a promise, right, and you know they love you, then they're going to do their best to keep that promise, right? They don't want to break it. And so we can start to believe in that, right? You know, God never fails us. Every time in Scripture when he says God's going to do something, God does it. God does it in his own time, but God does all those things. So isn't it interesting that when we sing a song of promise, that we're actually asking God to fulfill God's promises to us? And we can believe in that, right? Because God doesn't let us down. Would you agree that a promise from God is a better promise than probably any of us can ever make? Is that right? Is that a good thing? So when we think about everything that's going to happen, whether we have a schedule for our school week coming up, or we know what's going to happen the rest of this month or the rest of this year, we can always trust that if there's a mystery that we haven't figured out yet, if there's something coming up, or if there's an event coming up that we're not sure what's going to happen, or even what God's doing in our life, we have the promise that whatever God's doing, he's doing because God loves us, all right? And when that mystery and that surprise gets opened up to us, it's going to be exactly how God wanted it to be. It's a pretty cool promise, isn't it? It's easy to trust in God. And that brings us to our scripture verse for this month. It comes from Psalm 56:3, and it says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." Didn't we just talk about that when God makes a promise, that's the best promise we can ever trust, right? So no matter what, when God promises that God will be there for us, even if we don't understand and we might be afraid of those mysteries, I will trust in you. Can we say that? Can we say that together? When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Ready? After we count to three, let's say it together. One, two, three. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Okay? Now, some of us, we have some teachers in here, and I know, I've asked them, that you guys are louder than that. When we're talking about promises and keeping our word, can we say that a little bit louder? Let's do that again. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. A little bit louder, right? Let's sit up straight. Let's sit up straight so people can hear us. Ready? One, two, three. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Wow, that was a lot better, wasn't it? We have a little more confidence in that promise, don't we? Can we get in our prayer positions and pray? And I'm going to put my feet right here, and I won't hit you this time, okay? How about this? Let's go ahead and fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear Jesus, oh, can you say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us, and thank you for making promises that you can keep. Please bless our time in Sunday school and with our time up here with the adults. Mom and Dad, be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we had some confidence in the scripture verse. Could you agree that it's bold that we say those things? But let's go ahead and stand up, and you have the flag. Okay, excellent. So I don't know how you will decide. Okay, sounds good, guys. Well, we appreciate that, and I think we have a few more numbers that might be going downstairs too, huh? All right, thank you guys for being with us today. We're so thankful for that moment. We think of that song and knowing what's just around the corner. We're thankful for the children in our midst and the hope that they bring. We don't have a reading today, but we are going to transition into the Lord's Prayer because it's so important that, and just for a moment of a privilege here, you'll see in the bulletin that we celebrate not only the Priest family, but the Owen family as they grieved the loss of their mother, Sharon. And it was so important that it seems like the funerals, the majority of them that I've been involved in with or officiated at or attended, when it's a faithful person, a Christian, someone that has faith in Christ, it seems like the Lord's Prayer finds its way, even in the midst of that grief, something that we can anchor ourselves to, something that we can be inspired by God's Word. And when we listen to the Messiah of this world, the King of Kings, Jesus the Christ, when the people of faith reached out and said, "Teacher, how do we do this? What do we say? What's going to be a prayer that's pleasing to God's ears, that speaks clearly of our soul?" And so it's important when we not only hear and remember Christ's response, but how does it become our response today? So I'd ask you to please join me for the Lord's Prayer as one body and one voice. Would we please just get in our sacred space of prayer, and we can say together, as has been our tradition, these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Across our denomination of United Methodists, this is the first of six special Sundays we have. In your envelopes, if you pulled one out, you might have seen that there was a special envelope in there. It's called Human Relations Day. It's the Sunday closest to the birthday of Martin Luther King, and it is a Sunday to remind us of the inclusiveness and the diversity of all. And so in honor of Martin Luther King, we're singing, "Precious Lord, take our hand, take my hand." Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you to our choir today for bringing us that message, and Linda for reminding us the special Sunday in case we didn't see that or remember that when we saw our envelopes today. It's important when we think of a song like that, how prophetic is that to our own lives when we look at some of the things that we can do and when we offer ourselves to those that we love or even to a neighbor, whether they're familiar or not, how much more good and mercy can we show if the Lord has our hands and is slowing our stride? We are just thankful for the Lord's peace that brings there. And in these moments when we're thinking about our life and our schedule and the things that are waiting for us after the service, whether it's undecorating or fellowship time or just another commitment, come 2 o'clock, 2:30, those kind of things in our lives, there's always things that are waiting for us. And we really have to try to be very conscientious about our desire for peace, about our desire to just be like, Lord, where do you want me to go? There's a few things I would like to be accomplished. There's a few things that I would like to do. But as we just prayed, but would it be thy will, not my will, to be done? Before we go further in the printed service order, there's an opportunity here because Karen is in the nursery today that I wanted to remind us that we do have these sheets. And if you're here with us towards the end of the year, we planted a couple of seeds that music is so important in our lives, and it speaks to unique ways and different things, and it brings a, sometimes it can be a nostalgic thing, sometimes it can be a spiritual thing, but it's the moment of no matter what, part of our lives and our story are told through music, right? Especially our spiritual lives. And so there's an opportunity for us, similar to the way when we shared our stories, there's a sheet in the back there, and I would encourage you to grab these if you haven't done it yet, or even if you have and there's a different one. There's a line here for you to pick out a favorite song or one that has special meaning to you, or maybe even if it's just got a great story to it. It doesn't have to be one of your favorites. It could be one of your family favorites or a friend's favorites. And there's just a neat story that goes along with that, because just like our testimonies behind all of our great songs of our faith, some of them well-known, some of them not, there's always a great story of why it means so much to us, why it speaks to us. Sometimes it catches our breath. Sometimes it fills our eyes. Sometimes we just smile till it hurts because we're thinking of someone or something or a moment when Christ was very powerful and influential in our life specifically. So if you have a song or a favorite hymn, I would encourage you to look at this because we'd like to start doing this on a near weekly basis. So please find that in the back. Or if you have any other questions, please see Karen Pettis as she's heading this up, and she will be able to contact you. If you forget, you walk out, Mary can also send you one from the office if you contact her. So we're thankful for the ministry and the fruit that this opportunity will bear for us as we go forward in these moments. Now, last week, if you were with us, whether you joined us on the radio or in the service, or if you're not, we talked a little bit about the journey that the wise men or the magi or the kings, however we would describe to them, the offering that came in the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the journey that the magi that we used last week would take in this gospel account that's connected for us. And it's very important when the Gospel of Matthew, who's the longest in length, right, has a few unique spots in there, stories in there, or accounts in there that aren't contained in some of the other Gospels. And so it's interesting when you have the longest, like, width of volume, the most pages, the most content, as far as word count, in any of the Gospels, that Matthew, why is he including these extra things in here? Why is the Gospel account according to Matthew have some of these things in here? And it's interesting because this story is one that finds itself throughout the calendar year, and sometimes in our Christian tradition we talk about it, sometimes we don't, sometimes there's other directions we're going, like this year when Lent season comes so quickly after Advent. But we find ourselves in sort of a part two in our offering, because last week in the scripture we went over those familiar gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but that wasn't really the direction of what we wanted to take. We wanted to experience the journey that we took. The journey that we took. And here's one of those moments that didn't appear on the planning schedule or on a lot of the research and study that went into preparing a message, but I wanted to submit to you this, because sometimes it's not always on the written page or the voiced word from the pastor that comes the message, but were any of you, and I'm not going to ask for hands, but I would like to just ask the question, because I know of a few, but were any of you other inspired or sat and thought about went over in your mind when Gary started our service off last week and speaking a little bit about the Lord's Prayer and how a lot of how we navigate our world in faithfulness is really how we offer ourselves first, that we offer ourselves in a sacrificial and clean way, and that we really have to scrub out some of the stuff off our skin, right, before we present ourselves in the presence of the Lord, before we go into prayer in those kind of moments. And it's in that kind of moment we take a look at what do we have to offer. We looked at the journey, but what do we have in the message titled Offering to Have to Offer? Is it the best of what we have? Would honor Christ fittingly when we offer those things to Christ. I'm going to read the same scripture from last week and maybe put a couple more in here on the same account, but here's the first 12 verses of the second chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. The visit of the Magi. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed this star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." Verse 3, "And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened. He was concerned, and all of Jerusalem was concerned with him. And he called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he questioned them, he inquired of them, when this Messiah that was talked about was going to be born." Verse 5, "So they all told him, 'In Bethlehem, for it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, but from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd to all people of Israel, my people.'" Verse 7. "Then Herod secretly called the wise men together, the Magi, and learned from them the exact place and time when the star had appeared to them. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go ahead and search for them. Be diligent about finding this child. And when you do, come back here so that I too can pay him homage.' When they had heard what the king said, then they set out just as they were instructed to. And when they went there, ahead of them went a star, and they saw it at its rising, until it stopped over a place where they were seeking where the child was. When they saw where the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed, overcome, consumed with joy. Verse 11, "On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. The company knelt down and paid him homage. Then, after they worshipped and honored him, they opened up their chests that contained treasures. They'd offered him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And finally, in verse 12, we have, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." A lot of things in 12 verses there. And it's interesting in these moments that we find there are several things that we can call from there. And in this moment first, I stressed when I was reading that when they came to the place that they journeyed for, that they stopped, they came and they paid homage to this child king. Now, not exactly sure when we say child. Would you agree when you say child, you're really still not sure the age, right? A child could be infants, you know, in the hands to the age of my daughter, still a child, right? In those moments, children's time, right? There's all different ages that come up here. But we know that at this moment, they found, at least Mary was present there at this house when Jesus was still young, was still a child. And can I put a quick pause on this? Because this means that there was a little bit of life there. They've been traveling, made this journey for a long time because Jesus had some time to grow here in these moments. Let me put just a pause on this. This time of year, we're still talking about gifts, right? Advent, we talk about gifts a lot. And I wonder if it's foreign to talk about gifts. And I wanted to submit to you this because you know to me what some of the greatest gifts are. They're the ones that come to your mind right away. You know, like you don't have to ask the person. You just know what they might need or you just know what would really change the world around. But if it's not a meaningful gift, you know what, I mean, top of the line gift, but you know what other gift brings me a lot of joy? A clearance gift. Right? A gift on sale. So if I can find a gift that has meaning, right, that can really be worth giving, and it's not quite as much change, I love that. I'll get two of them, right? And so I got one to spare just in case, or someone else. And so I love clearance gifts. And it's in these moments when, again, we have to remember what does history say and what does the scripture say? And it's interesting in these moments because I wonder, Another kind of gift that I didn't think I liked, and I don't think I shared this last week, even though it was on my mind, is there was a gift, speaking of half off, I received a gift one time from one of those like secret gift giving or secret Santa, they call it sometimes gifts, you know, where you don't really know what you're getting, there's a spending limit, and it's kind of fun, but it's also stressful too, because if it's a $20 spending limit, you get tempted where, you know, what if they do the math up and it's only $18 and they feel slighted, or what if I want to spend $23 and I'm breaking the rule? Just all this pressure, right? All this pressure. But in the secret Santa opportunity, this gift-giving thing at work, I received a half bottle of cologne that I like to wear, but it was a half a bottle, right? So what does that say when you open this up, right? There was a bow on it, so there wasn't even in a box, so it's very clear that this was either like a tester, hopefully it wasn't out of someone's house. I mean, it was still what I wanted, right? I mean, it was still there, but I got kind of confused, right? And so I started hunting down the mystery of who my secret Santa was, not because I was excited to joy for them, but I was excited to wonder if they wanted to borrow something or maybe eat half of my sandwich one day. I would want to know before that conversation happened who gave me the half bottle of cologne. And so going along this process, you know, I started asking around, doing the things, right, giving Starlight Mints a little extra so somebody give me some information, right? And so I was investigating some things. And so I found out who it was, and there's somebody that I didn't really know very well. I knew their face, but I didn't work with them. I promise this is going somewhere. Well, one of my good friends that worked with me knew her very well. So I was like, what's going on here, right? Your good friend, what's going on? What's happening here? Is this typical? Is this what happened last year kind of thing? And he said, no, actually, I was the one that told her what kind of cologne that you wear. He was complicit in this crime, in this secret Santa operation. And so I started to in my mind, figure out, so what am I going to say here? My friend goes on to tell me later on that you got three other gifts leading up to those days. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Let's focus on the wrong here. Let's focus on my half bottle of cologne. This is a crime. And he actually told me, he's like, well, how about you do the math on those? You know, the only way she was able to get you what you really wanted, that you wear, is by getting you half and still be able to afford those other gifts that she gave you. Aw, man. Can I just tell you, fill in the blank, that's how I felt. And it's one of those moments where I thought to myself, she wanted to get me more. And just because it wasn't this big full bottle of cologne, I actually received more. This is what I wore, right? This is what I really wanted. But it wasn't the amount in which I thought I was due. Wow. Needless to say, I ended up buying her lunch because, you know, she didn't really know why, but I came clean to my buddy, and I'm pretty sure that he probably told her. But it was just one of those moments because I think of clearance, gift, half off. What do they mean? You know, in Scripture, it says for us here, it says that they traveled, right, in this long journey, and it says that after they paid worship and homage to the baby king, right? So they came, and they might not have been people of faith, but however they came here in this moment, they paid worship and homage to baby Jesus or the child Jesus. And only after they've done that, only after they've submitted, only after they've offered their hearts to the King of Kings, the Messiah of this world, the Son of God, only after that did they go and pack their loot, right? Did they go back and get the stuff? And I think about this moment too because now I know this might be a little bit careful, and I notice Melissa, my wife, is not here in attendance today. But there's a phrase that says diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? Diamonds are forever. Now, I'm aware that there are different sizes of diamonds. Okay, I'm aware of this. Sometimes bigger is better, right? Sometimes that bigger is better. Sometimes it's cut in clarity, right? Like I was taught all this stuff when it came time for engagement ring time. And it's this moment where because those mean so much, sometimes it can be frequency or amount or size of, but wouldn't you agree that there's sometimes that it's the meaning behind the gift that means more than perhaps the quantity or the size, right? And if you feel that way, would you please relay that to my wife who's not here today? Size isn't always what matters in the diamond. But all kidding aside, there's this moment in my mind when I was growing up, probably had to do with a lot of the Christmas pageants and the nativity the scenes and things like that and the Advent-style programs, that they would always have this big this big chest, right? Like this big treasure chest that would be bigger than all, you know, all my family's, you know, heirlooms and put together in this big chest, right? It looks like it belonged at a pirate ship, you know, this big thing. And then one time I remember they even had those ropes, you know, where it takes two people to carry it because so it looked like a cooler, you know, full of stuff. And I'm thinking, it didn't say that they gave a great amount of this stuff. Would you agree that maybe along with my story of half full cologne, that maybe the frankincense, I'm sorry, maybe the myrrh, well, maybe it was a half a bottle, right? Could you understand that if they're paying homage to the king, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were trying to set him up so he could pay his living expenses and care for the family and those kind of things. It just meant that they gave gold. Would you agree that if I was handing out gold, Gary, you'd be excited if I gave you a nugget or a roll of it, you know what I mean? Just give it to me, whatever. And it's just that moment where I think to myself, have we read into there was this great amount that was given as this offering? Remember, it came as a response to hearts being opened. It didn't say that they unloaded the camels and pulled in the U-Haul and dropped off all this stuff. If they gave but one gold coin or gold piece to the family, wouldn't that still signify that Jesus is the king? Because it was a kingly gift. It doesn't have to be troves full. It could have been. But let's think about the character of Christ, too. Does Christ really seem like the one that would amass a Scrooge McDuck, you know, holding of gold that you can swim in? No. What about what it means? What about what it means? When they said they offered these gifts, it didn't come in to say that they followed a star and they knew that they were going to meet the Savior of this world who would in fact die for our sins. So when they offered myrrh, it doesn't say that they knew ahead of time that this was going to be the perfect gift and they put it in a crystal vial and it was going to be worth so much. I wonder if it was half full. It came from worship, what they offered. They offered the best of what they had. That's clear. But it doesn't say the amount of. And the reason I say that is because, my dear friends, when we're looking at what we have to offer, some of us have to offer more time than others for the ministry and the sake of kingdom building than some of us do. Or some of us do not. When it comes to the monetary offering, some of us have more to give than we don't. But first fruits are first fruits. It doesn't matter if you have a 1-acre farm, a 10-acre farm, and I don't know how big an acre is really, but a 1,000-acre farm, is that big enough to say that your offering should be bigger than the 1 acre? But it's still a sacrifice of first fruits. We don't know how much these magi gave, but they gave gifts that honored the Christ child. My dear friends, it's not always the biggest. It's not always the vast amount of. It's not always the container in which we offer these things or manners in which we do. Are we giving of ourselves and our gifts, our talents? Are we giving what honors the Christ child who would grow to be our Messiah, our Savior? The best of what we have. Now, for those of us, I'm going to go through this because it's not a lesson that a lot of us haven't heard, but some of it might be the first time. When we look at gold that was given from Scripture, one of those, obviously it's a kingly gift. It's richly rewarded, and you would be a person of stature if you possess gold. So this would be a great offering to give to someone of royalty. And of course, we know that Jesus, even if the Magi understood or if they didn't, that Jesus would be the King of Kings. What is precious to them, what is the precious thing that we give out of worship to Christ? Frankincense. This would be something that a priest would have. They would use it in the temple and it would combine with the sense of sacrifices there. What does that say about Jesus? Well, Jesus would be the great priest, right? He would be the priest above all priests, sort of the King of Kings. It would be this moment where what's a priest do? A priest in that moment would be represented in the temple. You would go to the priest in the temple because you would expect the priest to be the connection between you and God. So what is the connection that Jesus has? It comes between connecting us to God. So this is that moment where frankincense is presented because it honors who Jesus is, the go-between, the connection, the glue, the teacher, the one that would lead us to God. And because of that leading, it would mix with sacrifice. myrrh. This was a gift to give to the dead. Not really your top line item at Target when you're filling out a baby registry, but here's this moment when they present myrrh. An oil that was anointed that before burial, it would be presented to help embalm the body. Does that seem odd to you at all that you would receive a child would have this gift? We know the rest of the story, so we know why that is important, sacrificial. But also, was it expensive? Also, in these moments, would they be bringing that in a way to signify how short life would be? We are called in Scripture, dear friends, to have that bottle of myrrh close to our bedside, close to our lives, because I think you would agree, no matter what our age, it goes faster and faster and faster, right? And we're living our life because we're going to spend eternal life, the other side of heaven, for a lot longer than we're going to this side of heaven. Would you agree that it guides how we live and how sacrificially we act as followers of Christ when we keep that close? Living in the shadow of the cross, that means that cold, dark, and death is around us. But we know it doesn't have the final say. Keeping that close to us as we are children of God, how important is myrrh? And so I would ask you in these same moments when we think about these specific gifts that was given to the Christ child, gold, our treasures, this value, it has a tangible value. Only after the Magi worshiped the Christ child did they offer this precious gift. Only after we come to worship, not necessarily just here, this is a big important part of that, but when we have worshiped God in our life, when we've worshiped Christ, what is our response in a way of saying thank you? Frankincense. What is a way that we think of the priest, the great high priest, the one that has finally brought us together, that has torn away the shroud that separated us, that we now have access to God, that we now have a way that the stain of our sin, the weight of it is washed away by the blood of Christ. We can be presented as a spotless offering through Christ to God. We can be brought back in relationship on there. So when we worship and give homage to that known fact of our faith, how do we respond to the great priest who has opened that door forever so that we are no longer separated from God? Tangible values, experience values, and what about myrrh? How can we make myrrh be more than just how can we make it more symbolic? One of the things that we did last year that I'm sure we're all aware of, so I'll bring it up touchly, is a lot of times we shared our stories. We gave our testimony. We've touched on evangelism a little bit at the tail end of last year. It will cost us something. It says in Scripture that Jesus reminds us we will have to die for ourselves to live in Him. We will have to say goodbye to certain things to be able to live a life that is worthy of Christ. Myrrh represents death. Can we offer something that shows we have died to ourselves, that my pride has been slain, that my will has been laid over? Could we stand next to the grave and say, Jesus, here is the burial ground of all the things that I have given up or put aside for the sake of following you in this world? And not so he would, yes, look at that, huh? My pile's a lot bigger than someone else's. Well, in a way, that's not really a compliment, right? If there's a lot more he had to put away. But my dear friends, to honor the gift of myrrh, after we've given our life over, after we've realized the depths of Christ's love, when we've drunk deep of the cup of grace, we will have to bury things. Some things will need to be embalmed. Things have to be laid in a tomb of our lives, of who we are and who we struggle with, if we are going to be walking hand in hand with Christ in this world. What is the value we put on the relationships, the hobbies, the habits, the goals, the things that we will bury for Christ's sake in our lives? Just another brief moment from the Scripture that we have here. It goes on to see what happens after they took a country to another road. I'm just going to read a brief few verses, verse 13 through 18. Now, after they had been warned in a dream to not return to Herod and go by another road, now as he escaped to Egypt, verse 13 in chapter 2. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, another one, and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you to. For Herod is about to search for Jesus to destroy him." Verse 14. Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophets, a promise. "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Verse 16. When Herod saw that he told the wise men, the magi, that he'd been tricked by them, that they went a different way, he was infuriated, he was angry, he was consumed with hate. Consumed. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem to prevent the prophecy from coming true that were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he learned from the Magi. Verse 17. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, and said this: "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, because Rachel wept for her children. She refused to be comforted and consoled, because they are no more." We can see here in the scripture the response of an open heart to receive Christ, to seek Christ, to find Christ, to worship Christ, and what it looks like to open our hearts and give a gift that would honor what Christ is in our lives. We also see the hardened hearts of Herod, who would rather worship himself, his position, his power, his throne. And I would say this very real in this moment of the new year. All of us, as individuals, as a community of faith, where are our hearts? Where are our hearts in line of our faith? Are we open hearts of keeping the main thing the main thing? Are our hearts hardened because we can find ourselves distracted in this world, in our steps, in our day-to-day, and sometimes we forget what the main thing is? Each and every day, my dear friends, we might pass an offering once when we're looking at gold, but every single day, we have an opportunity to offer Christ the best of what we have, a gift that would honor his lordship in our lives. Lordship. That means top priority. That means there can't be a distraction, because it is always top priority. It's a need. It's more than our basic need, it's our essential need. And I would ask us, dear friends, to consider this. The gifts that we have that are most precious can't fit into a box. It's our lives. And we're thinking about the offerings that we have and the offerings that the Magi brought. I would ask us, are we more like the Magi who came seeking, who came with purpose, who after worshiping Christ gave and offered gifts that honored him and paid homage to Christ? Or are we like Herod, unwilling to surrender our lives? Maybe some of it, but not true lordship, not a guiding lordship. We are not called, you and I, dear friends, to give Christ what's left over. We're not called to give Christ, We're not called to give Christ 50 weeks a year with 2 weeks of vacation. Christ wants all of it. Christ wants all of it. In our lives, in our homes, in our church, in our community, in our world, we cannot call out for God's mercy and God's blessing upon us if we're not giving all of it. My dear friends, all of us have to search ourselves. Are we offering to God the best we have through Christ? Living in the shadow of that cross, and as the choir said, guiding our journey by holding our hands. In this moment, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, because when we look at a way of response in worship, is to give our tithes and offerings, our first fruits. We talked about that a little bit during the service today. We're thankful for their service as we pass these forward from the blessings that have already been given us. Lord, indeed, we are so blessed. We are so blessed, Lord, because your gifts are so rich and you freely give of them. Lord, we ask that you would take joy in the gifts that are presented before you, that you would see that needs are met and lives are changed as a result of these gifts. Lord, and bless the houses from which they came and the intended purposes in which they serve. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. Lordship. Because He Lives is a song, a great song of our faith, one of the most requested songs, not only in our denomination, but for churches around the country. This is why. The main thing is the main thing. The offering of our lives, the things that we are asked to do, the difficult spots we are asked to stand in, the conversations we are called to have. All that comes because He lives, because of this promise. It's not the hymn of promise, but similar to what we were talking about the kids. This is the promise. Jesus is Lord. Can we sing together because He lives?
Thank you.
My dear friends, that means no cost is too great, no asking is too much, no situation is too difficult to bear simply because He lives. Are we willing to walk in places, to confront things, to lay down things, to embalm things? Not because it's easy, not because it's fun, but because He asks us to, because He lives. My dear friends, I don't want us to miss out. I don't want myself, I don't want my family, I don't want this church to miss out on the journey that God has for us. Because He lives, we are prepared for the journey. Will we give God lordship to take us where God wants us? Could we go encouraged to take this step in this journey by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?